Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came.
Somehow or other, it came just the same.
The Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling.
How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags.
And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas,
he thought,
doesn't come from a star. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
What happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
What's happening to me? And I'm leaking. Oh, man. Step at a time.
All right, now it's time. As we open God's Word this morning, I need to very clearly mention that I'm indebted to Adams and Adrian, who have inspired me in a lot for this message this morning, and we're going to get lost in the messiness of the text, but I hope that if you get anything out of it this morning, it's this, is that the reason we don't do radical hospitality or evangelism is because sometimes I believe we fail to get lost in the magnificence of Jesus. That being said, let's open God's Word to the book of Luke, to the first chapter, verses 26 to 38, where Dr. Luke writes these words. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. It was 1904. William Borden, heir to the Borden Dairy Estate, graduated from high school. And he was given a gift of a trip around the world. And so he made his way into Asia, into the Middle East, into Africa. And he was overwhelmed by the poverty that he decided he was going to do something about it. He was going to become a missionary. His parents tried to talk him out of it, and yet to no avail. He went to Yale University, got a degree, was offered high-paying jobs around the world. He turned them all down. He went to Princeton Seminary, graduated, and was on his way to Asia, made a stopover in the Middle East. And there he got cerebral meningitis. And in the back of his Bible, he wrote the words, "No retreats." And then, "No regrets." And "No reserves." He died a month later. Everyone around him said, "What a waste of a life." Even his parents had said that. Until his parents began to flip through his Bible and began to hear the words, "No reserves, no retreats, no regrets." That was Mary's words, weren't they? Mary didn't even have to count the cost. She simply said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." This morning, as you hear Mary's story and Mary's response, you and I are invited into Mary's story. As God calls us to radical hospitality, to evangelism, to be the messengers of God here on earth. No retreats, no regrets, no reserves. But there are so many things that get in the way, aren't there? There are barriers. There are barriers to us stepping out in faith. I can only imagine what it was like for Mary. I think the first one that we face is fear. I mean, the fear of the unknown. What are people going to think if you and I, as the Lord's servant, wholeheartedly, passionately, unreserved, with no regret, reach out to the world with the good news of the gospel? That it moves from here to here, and it just can't help but flow off our lips of what might be accomplished. The fear of what God may ask of us. He's not going to ask us to conceive the Messiah, because the Messiah is already here. But to step into the life of our next door neighbor, our co-worker, a family member, to actually articulate what we believe, not intellectually, but because we've experienced it. I have to wonder what it was like to be a young girl and to hear these words, "Greetings to you who are highly favored." Seriously? I mean, do you sense the irony in the text? This young lady's world was going to be rocked upside down. And yet, she didn't expect an angel. She didn't expect that the Messiah would come from her. She simply says, "How can it be, since I am a virgin?" And yet notice her response in faith of our invitation to meet God this morning, to reach out to others. But I think it's not only fear. I think sometimes you and I get so busy that we miss out on what God might want to say. Maybe what God wants to say this morning, because we know what we have to do between now and Christmas. We get so busy that we miss out on the opportunities of our coworkers and our neighbors and our friends. We miss out on meeting Jesus at Christmas. But I also think we run into the story that if I was Mary, I would be asking, is there anybody else that can have the Messiah? I mean, I'm only a poor girl. Because look what's going to happen. As Mary has the Messiah, it changes everything. See, as you and I say yes to Jesus, in becoming a follower of Jesus, Jesus is going to radically turn your world and my world upside down if we are faithful. God is going to bring people into our story that we just aren't going to know what to do with. God's going to place us in situations that we just don't know what to do. But are our words like Mary? "I am your servant. May it be to me as you have said." See, that means allowing others into our story. And for lack of a better word, I think there's another thing that gets in the way of us meeting Jesus. And the best word I can think of is apathy. I mean, people aren't going to respond to Jesus, are they? I mean, people aren't going to come to church when we invite them to Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock to hear the kids lead us in worship. I mean, people aren't going to let me share the story, right? So why even bother? But I think of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians where he says this, "We, therefore, are Christ's ambassadors. As though we were making this appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Steve Adams says it well, and I'm going to change a word to make it more relational into what we're doing this morning, is I believe if we get one thing this morning, I hope you'll get this, is that the reason we don't do radical hospitality or evangelism is that we miss out on the magnificence of Jesus. I want you to think about that this morning. Is that the reason I believe as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are not sold out on radical evangelism or hospitality, is that we miss out on the magnificence of Jesus. So let me give you five incredible realities about the magnificence of Jesus. First one is that Jesus is God. Says in our text, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David." Paul says this in Romans. "For the invincible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." That have been made. It's echoed in the words of our text. Think about it for a moment. You have found favor with God. Favor is the story of grace. Favor is God's unmerited goodness to us. It is not something that Mary deserves or has even earned, but God gives. It's something that God gives to us, that God desires to give to our neighbors and to our friends. He's God. He says, "You will be a child, and he will give birth to a son, He will be called the Son of the Most High, and he will be called God. Isn't that what Isaiah said years before? That he would be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Picture it this morning. God, God, the Creator of the world, with us. With us. The one who is eternal. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Paul says it this way, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." To think of that, that there's not a moment where Jesus was not. John says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word describes Jesus. And the Word was with God, and he was with God in the beginning. Jesus was there as the world was created. Jesus is there in our redemption because he died for us. He rose again, he ascended to heaven, and Jesus is coming again one day. God with us. I don't know how that touches you, but Christianity is the only religion in the world where the Messiah, where God is knowable, who's personal, and who's relational. God with us. But he's also like no other. Moses writes these words, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods?" Now picture the beauty of this. The cloud of God's presence overshadowed the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, the place where the priest would go once a year to make atonement for the sins of the people. Our text uses that word overshadow as well. That overshadow of something holy, of something beautiful that would take place in the womb of Mary. But how can it be since I am a virgin? You see, with God, all things are possible. Have you heard that before? Job says it this way, "I know that you can do all things. No plans of yours can be thwarted." Jeremiah says, "O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." And Isaiah says, "Was my arm too short to ransom you? Do I lack the strength to rescue you?" Nothing is impossible. God with us. But Jesus is also the Messiah. Matthew writes it this way, "She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This is the most overwhelming for me. I don't know about for you, but for the fact that God left the throne room of heaven and became man. And while I was rebellious, while I was yet far from him, while I was rejecting him, he came into the world for me and for you. And not only that, but he died. He died that you and I might know him, that you and I might enjoy him forever. That he might give you and I joy that is overwhelming right here and right now. And he will be great. The Lord will give him the throne of the father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. This fulfills something that was said already back at the end of Jacob's life. When Jacob, in his last will and testament, you could say, writes these words, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his." God with us. But Jesus is also King and Lord. We read that in the story of the book of Revelation where it says, "In his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That means he's king, he's ruler, he reigns, he's supreme, he's controller. And God knows the story of Mary. He knows its implications. And yet he says, will you trust me? Will you allow me to lead and guide and direct your life? He says the same thing to you and I in the ethical decisions that you and I need to make, in the priorities that we make, in the story of our faith, in the very mission and the very fabric and the very heartbeat of the church. To say, how am I going to respond when God asks something of us? When he says to community church, will you be a church that has your doors wide open, that will embrace anyone who will come? Will you relentlessly commit yourself to reaching out to the community? The angel had come to Mary. She didn't need to think twice about it. She didn't need to make a pro and con list. But there in that moment of the encounter with the angel, we're not told how long that encounter was. She simply says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And notice the implications for us. Because Mary's response was dangerous. She didn't know what her parents would say. She didn't know what Joseph would say. She didn't know, but she had a good idea of how the community would look at her. But she simply says, God, I'm in. If you have made a statement of faith and you said to God, God, I'm in, God is calling you to a radical kind of living where our faith is just pouring out of everything that we are so that people would see Jesus. Mary's response was faithful. Have you ever thought about her response? And then on this side, you have Zechariah the priest. Her response is a lot more mature and a lot more wise. If you get the chance this afternoon, read the story of Zechariah. She simply says, I don't understand it, but with God, all things are possible. The same is true for the story of our lives and the sharing of our faith. But her response was also wholehearted. And I believe that's what God wants from all of us. As you meet Jesus this morning, as you have met Jesus maybe on the journey of faith, and maybe you've made a commitment to Christ already, God is saying, be all in. Get lost in the magnificence of Jesus this morning. God, eternal, like no other, Messiah, King of kings and Lord. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Get lost this Christmas even in the magnificence of Jesus. And then let me ask you to do something that for some of us is going to be radically bold and radically hard to do. Well, I want to challenge you to step out in faith and to invite two of your neighbors to come to our Christmas Eve service. It's going to be at 6 o'clock. The kids are going to be leading us. And what a non-threatening way for you and I to invite our friends and our neighbors who don't know Jesus. As the kids lead us, as the kids tell the story of Christmas. And as we open our doors as community church, let's welcome those who are our neighbors, our friends, maybe even strangers, to come and join us this Christmas and to meet Jesus. Amen. We're going to pray, and I'm not sure if the Gittins are here, but I'm told they have just recently celebrated their 40th wedding anniversary. Are they here? They're not, but we want to give thanks to God for 40 years, but we also want to, as we pray this morning, pray for Matt Valkenberg and Emily as they prepare to get married early in January. We want to pray God's blessing on that other end as they prepare to start a life together as husband and wife. So let's pray together. Oh, before we do, I forgot to tell you as well. I want to give you an update on Gail. I saw Gail this week, and man, what a good visit. Gail was smiling. Her eyes, when I went to see her, were wide open. She was following the conversation the whole time, and as I overheard the doctor talking with her, you know what? She's breathing on her own, and the doctors are happy with how the progress that she's making, and just simply said to her as I was there, you know what? Let's work on building more strength in your body. So good news, Ruth, very good news. So let's give thanks to God for that. And as we go to prayer too, I said to her just before she went into surgery as well, and we've mentioned a few times, I said, we're still waiting for you to come and be able to dance, and she smiled. So her sense of humor is there as well. So let's pray together. God, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the story of faith. And Lord, we just want to thank you for that in Gail. Lord, we thank you for the great progress that she's making. Lord, we thank you that the doctor seemed very encouraged this past week. And Lord, we just pray that that would continue to happen. Lord, we pray that you would continue to strengthen her body. Lord, we thank you that her lungs are operating on their own. And Lord, we thank you for just the good day she was having when I was there this past week. And Lord, we just pray that that would continue. We pray that you would, again, ultimately and totally and completely heal her body. God, we know that nothing is impossible with you. And God, as we pray that, Lord, we pray that you would refresh her spirit this morning, that you would strengthen her, that, Lord, she may sense your presence and your hand upon her life, and that, Lord, you would just restore her. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life. Lord, we thank you for the Gittens who are able to celebrate 40 years of marriage. Lord, we just pray that you would bless them with many more years. And Lord, we just pray that their story would be one of faith. And when people look at their life and, Lord, look at their marriage, that they would see you. And that their testimony together, Lord, would be a witness of how good you are. And Lord, we just pray for Matt and Emily, Lord, who will be getting married on January the 9th. We just pray that you would just bless them as they prepare, not only for that day, but for a lifetime together. We pray that their marriage would be marked with faith, with love that is deeply rooted in you. And Lord, we know it will be. And Lord, we just pray that their testimony as well would be a strong witness to how good you are. Now, Lord, as they get ready for the last couple of weeks, we just pray that all the details will fall into place. And that their wedding would be a celebration of you and of the love that you have given to them. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Marianne, Lord, as she makes her way back home later tonight from Bolivia. We pray that her mission service there would have been a fruitful and productive one, that lives would have been touched, Lord, but also that you would have, again, just blessed her through this time as well. And that as she arrives back home, Lord, that service would continue, that passion for missions and reaching you, not only abroad, but here would resonate within each of us. Would you be with Phil and Janetta and Wozna, Lord? May their service there be one where we as the church together serve you across the world. Their work, Lord, in agricultural and medicine, Lord, would that too bear much fruit. And may many come to know of you through that service. Would you be at the DeBoers, Lord, as they walk through this Christmas season, Lord, and have their first Christmas without Liam? We pray that you would comfort them, that you would strengthen them, Lord, that you would be near to them. Would you refresh them? And Lord, may they too just sense your spirit upon them. Lord, thank you for the gift of Christmas. May we get lost in the magnificence of who you are this Christmas. And may our hearts be so touched, Lord, that we are ready to live boldly for you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thanks for Christmas. In your name we pray. Amen.